Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your KPR Sarah Cody. We're keeping it geekly with our returning guest, Gage the Wolf, here to talk about God Slayer Episode 2. Gage, it's been how long? Oh my goodness. I want to say at least a year, right? It feels like.
Yeah, it's been 11 months to a year. Following my Kickstarter for God Slayers Episode 1, a year later with God Slayers Episode 2.
Yeah, so. Dude. And man, you were episode 13. Now, what episode? I think 350. Say, it's been like a crap load. What have you been up to since the last time you've been on the show?
Working. I work a day job in order to pay for comics. And then working on God Slayers Episode 2. And I've got a ton of stuff put together for God Slayers Episode 3, trying to get a jump on that while I'm kickstarting number 2. I tried to take on a second title as a new comic creator, and that didn't work out too great. I've got some artwork and some outlines, but they're put aside for now so that I can focus on God Slayers.
Was it just like too much to juggle, or, you know, was it just too much to fund? I mean, that seems like a lot too, you know, trying to create two books at once.
It was a lot to fund. So I also write a script for another comic book. Mm-hmm. But it wound up being a lot of work. It wound up being a little bit more money than I had to spend at the time. And then there were just some creation issues that kind of caused me to put the project aside.
I gotcha. We got Judah Rad over on YouTube. Thank you for stopping in, Judah. I appreciate that. Good looking comic book. Yes, God Slayers Episode 1 and 2 have some outrageously gorgeous interiors. I actually had the opportunity to read episode 1 a long time ago and just read episode 2 tonight, and holy crap, this story is getting insane, like crazier by the page. Gage, do us a favor, tell us a little bit about what God Slayers is about.
So God Slayers is about a necromancer whose world is oppressed by a Yama King, which is a demon, the Yama King of Betrayal, Mastema, and Mastema possessed a kitsune years ago, almost two decades ago, and came to the world of Athenea and attempted to slaughter the nine gods of the realm. And he managed to kill 8 of the 9 gods of the realm. And Dust and the people of Athenea have been suffering under oppression from this Yama King. And then 5 years ago, the God Slayer was killed with his own sword by the character in God Slayers Episode 1 and 2, Jericho, who lost his arm because of it, and the Yama King was released. So Mastema is now loosed from the vessel he was in, and in Athenea personally, attempting to conquer it and build his own group of gods.
Ooh.
And Dust and his band are the ones who are standing before them, and Dust are in their way. And Dust believes that the only way to defeat the Yama King is to use the same weapon that slaughtered his vessel, the God Slayer sword. And the only one who can wield that sword is the God Slayer. And so he has to wake him from the dead in order to do so.
And this weapon is badass looking. I just love its design. What were some of the influences in creating this weapon?
I mean, it's a Buster sword, so Final Fantasy VII for one.
You know, it kind of reminded me, what was it, Ninja Gaiden? Is that how you pronounce the it's like Gaiden or Gaiden. There is a wooden plank where if you leveled it up all the way to level 10, it just turned into this badass. It was like the best weapon in the game, but it was the most crappiest weapon starting out. And I remember that design. That weapon looked so badass, and it kind of reminded me of that, too.
And the God Slayer sword is actually a corrupted weapon that was given to the God Slayer's people before he was possessed by Mastema to protect their land, and it's been corrupted by the Yama King. So that's that storyline coming up later. So God Slayer's Episode 3 will open up my story, The Walls of Jericho, where I start talking about Jericho Tolson. And really getting into in depth into his story and then the villains. So with my Kickstarter, my tiers are all based on the God Slayers: Akara, Jericho, Bella, Dust, and then the God Slayer himself. When I open up God Slayers Episode 3, I want my tiers to be my villains.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. And then one of my stretch goals this time is revealing Mastema. And if we don't reach that, well, then we'll reveal him in Godslayers Episode 3.
And we're going to be diving into the Kickstarter in just a moment. But real quick, we have our good friend Caswell over on Twitch. Dwarf Gamer stopping in with a raid of 4 as well. Welcome to the stream, guys. We're in the middle of an interview with Gage the Wolf talking about Godslayers Episode 2. Judah Rad over on YouTube, Necro is definitely the best of the Mancers. I have to agree. I love Necromancers so much. But Dust, you know, he's just one of the trio. We also have Bella. We have Jericho. Bella and Jericho are two interesting characters of the cast as well. Can you give us a little bit of their breakdown too?
So Jericho is the general of the Federated Kingdoms, but his defeat of the Godslayer wasn't really looked on very nicely, so he's been demoted to babysitter. And it's his job to guard Bella, who is the princess of the Federated Kingdoms. And he's been her trainer and her bodyguard for years now, 5 years now. And Bella she adores Dust. Mm-hmm. So Dust is a super ambitious guy. Like, he comes in talking about becoming gods. He comes in capable of course raising the dead, and he's just got this swagger. When you read Godslayers Episode 2, you'll see it right in the first couple pages. He's got this ambitious, overconfident swagger to him, and Bella's just fallen head over for that.
So Bella's a really interesting character in herself, though. She's able to, like, create this, like, huge hammer out of nothing. Like, how is she able to do that?
That's her magic ability, is conjuration. And the hammers weigh nothing for her because they're magical. But anyone mm-hmm. else who would try to pick them up has to pick up the weight.
Yeah.
And so she can make these up to van size hammers that she can wield.
And I just love, because they're so heavy that they break the tiling, they break the flooring. So these things are massive, but I love that, you know, it's that catch 22. She's able to wield it just because it's magic. So I love that little touch there. Now, the Godslayer part of this is such an intricate part of the story. You know, what are you basing that off of anything in particular, or how are you able to, like, construct this and keep, like, the continuity in check?
So in order to answer that, like, so my brother and I were big D&D fans, and he always had this thing, like, we would get in arguments all the time, why can't a necromancer be good? And so when I originally wrote Godslayers, I wrote it kind of to answer to that, and I wanted to make Dust is a moral necromancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, he comes from a kingdom where they raise their dead all the time as labor, as for wisdom, as signs of prestige, and he has a very different point of view of how to handle raising the dead than your average necromancer would be. The average necromancer reaches into the thousand hells, snatches hold of a soul, stuffs it back in the body, and raises that person from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And Dust himself, as we saw in episode 1, he was in the thousand hells, you know, and he has this thing in Godslayers Episode 2, we meet the Godslayer before he was possessed. We meet him in that moment where he gave himself over to Mastema and kind of find out his motivation.
I really loved how you did that too, the little flashback, and how you really see, like, the repercussions of his actions, you know, the toll that it's taken on the character himself, and how in disbelief he is at a chance for redemption, possibly.
And that's one of the things I really want to get into with the story, is the redemption aspect of it, you know? How you can't put away what you did in the past, you know? Mm-hmm. Hopefully you can make up for it. Hopefully you can become better. But you can't ever really put it down.
That's
it's
such
a part of you no matter what.
It's such a deep route to go. Like, what made you want to go that direction with this story?
It felt right when I was designing the character. I started out, I wanted the Godslayer to be someone who you could relate to why he would do what he did, even if you didn't approve mm-hmm. of it, and that you want to see saved. You want to see him be redeemed too. you can understand why people treat him the way they do, but you get to watch him try. You get to try and you get to watch him become better.
And I mean, things get pretty chaotic in the later half of this issue too. We won't spoil anything, but I just love how fast paced and just, you know, bonkers. It was like, right, it was teetering right on that edge. This art is outstanding. Can we give a little bit of a shout out to the creative team involved?
So Mario A. Barraza is our interior artist. He does the roughs, the inks, the colors. The only thing he does not do for Godslayers is the lettering. And then he even has a cover. Our main cover, the Mario A. Barraza wraparound cover, that's his work.
Ooh.
And he designed that cover. He drew it and he colored it. So I love Mario. So I told you I'm a big role playing guy. I play White Wolf games, and I met Mario doing images of my party as Christmas gifts for my role players.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And after a while, I was watching all these other people make comics, inspirational people like Larry Higgins, who does Niobe, or Atrocity Press, or there's just a bunch of them I could name. I'd be sitting here forever. But I watched them doing this, and I was like, I think I could do this. I'm nowhere near as good as they are, mm-hmm. but I've got two books, so I'm coming back for Godslayers episode 3.
I mean, you're doing the damn thing, and I think right now would be a perfect segue. Let's go ahead, pull up that Kickstarter, and we'll check out and see what all the hype is about. So now we are looking at episode 2. Right now, $2,185 of a $3,000 goal, 58 backers with 9 days left to go. So you are like right over that hump, you know, right under it, almost just under $800 to go. How are you feeling right now, Gage? Like, this is your second Kickstarter under your belt. Like, you feeling good? You feeling stressed? Like, how's it been going?
So, I mean, it's a roller coaster for sure, but it's been pretty steady. Like, a lot of people talk about that valley that you get in the middle weeks, mm-hmm. and we've just been kind of steady. One or two backers, and just slowly rising. So it's been really fulfilling, you know, getting to watch it and share it with people and talk to them about it. I've been doing shows like crazy. I just posted the new updated image we saw at the top under mm-hmm. the video. And then I just posted the lettering today because I just got it. So
I was going to say, we were supposed to have this show earlier today, but my son ended up going into the ER, busted his chin at recess. Last year, it was like he did it right before Santa Claus was coming. They had to glue it. This year, unfortunately, that glue did not hold strong enough. So I appreciate you being so flexible with the reschedule. That's why we're actually late, so live tonight, guys. So I appreciate the awesome turnout as well, guys. Thank you for always making this a hype show. We're looking at the interiors in the Godslayer's tomb, and we see Dusk. He's sewing this like symbol into the chest. I mean, what's the importance of the symbol that he's, you know, stitching in there?
So the first thing he has to do is sew up the wound in the Godslayer's shoulder that Jericho gave him. Which is what Jericho's pissed about.
Oh.
but then the symbol that he works in the chest is actually an anchor for the Godslayer's soul. Mm. So at the beginning of the issue, we see him go and retrieve the Godslayer's soul. And then this is the spell that he uses to anchor it to him to bring him back.
And right here, you know, Bella with her hammer, this thing, as you can see, is just stuck in the flooring. This thing is so heavy. It kind of reminds me almost like of a Mjolnir, like, but just huger, like a massive version of it. And only Bella's the worthy one that can wield it.
And then we've got Akara there. She's our little ninja, and she's a half Nezumi, half human, which is like Master Splinter. They're like a rat.
Mm-hmm.
race, a humanoid rat race, and her mother was human.
So we also see the mention of the Black Knights. You know, who are these guys?
So the Black Knights are just a general hodgepodge of monsters, and I actually explained their origins right at the beginning of Godslayers episode 3, which will be coming. But the Black Knights are Mastema's swarm of monsters.
And we see right here, he gets woke up, and just the fact that he's awake is enough to scare these guys away. I just love that. Like, he's so ominous. They run in fear, but then Jericho just doesn't give two hoots. He just starts unloading on this guy.
And there's reasons. So these pages are not chronological. So there are pages in between. I kind of grabbed the ones that had the most action and that had the most dynamic scenes and didn't give away the story 100%. But yeah, he lays into him and he even says right there, "I won't let our world wind up kneeling to you again." You know, he personally fought the God Slayer when Mastema was still, when he was still Mastema's vessel. And so he has a personal issue with the fact that they raised this guy from the dead.
And I love you see Akira throwing, it's like hit the sand at Dale Gribble doing the sand, pocket sand.
Pocket sand. So we talked about that a lot, the pocket sand thing. And I mean, I've done stuff in role-playing games where like characters added salt to their pocket sand. I had a character who that was his main weapon was pocket sand.
I'd be so, mad if someone threw sand at me, first of all. Second of all, if there was like salt within it, man, I'm throwing hands.
And so she's just got a plethora of ninja tools. Like, that's kind of her thing. And sand has many uses. Like, we see Dust draw a sigil with it in God Slayers Episode 1. And then, of course, it's great for blinding an enemy and stopping them dead, because nobody's coming after you anymore when there's sand in their eyes.
So real quick, everyone, right here are some tiers that we can back. We, of course, have just pledge $1 just to support the project. You can get the $5 or more PDF. So how many pages is the second episode going to be?
24 pages.
So $5, just that's like a, yeah, big one big bang for your buck right there for just $5. And then $10 more, you're going to get a physical copy of the wraparound cover. And this thing is gorgeous. I just love these two on the front and then the rest of the crew on the back.
Yeah, oh yeah. Mario did a killer job on this thing. It's beautiful. The colors and just the layout wound up gorgeous. And I love that you see the God Slayer's soul glowing in his chest.
And then we have the God Slayer Awakened cover. So this is going to be the Jericho tier at 15. We also have go ahead.
That's LC Freitas. And that's actually colored by our interior artist.
Yeah, this is gorgeous too. I love this. You kind of see Jericho just getting his face handed back to him. I love that. And then we have the Bella tier. So the Bella tier is going to be 15 or more as well. And this is another gorgeous pinup cover. So pinup cover.
And that's actually colored by our next cover artist, Anne Araujo. And this is another LC piece of art. So all my cover artists did more on the project than just a single, you know, piece. Mario did the interiors and a cover. Anne Araujo did a cover and colored an LC Freitas. LC Freitas did two covers. Mario colored an LC Freitas cover. And then Pete Vasquez, who has a cover later on, this is our sexy necromancer cover. And this is kind of my jab at the girl pinups. You know, I wanted a dude pinup, and there's a little funny story to this. So when I showed a buddy of mine this cover at work, it was in the same folder as a photo of me posing like that for the artist to do the work from. And he was like, "What the heck is this?" And so he was calling me Mr. December, and people at work were calling me Mr. December for my sexy pose.
That's hilarious. Yeah, so I love how all these variants are also $15. I mean, You're not like going, super huge with the price, and you're keeping it all relatively around the same price, you know, and I think that's cool. You know, what made you want to keep the variants around the same price like that?
So I have been watching Kickstarter this year, and there's been some projects I couldn't afford to back that I really wish I could have. And so I wanted to keep the prices kind of low, try and cover my costs, but still have something awesome, you know, And so when I was doing my tiers, I was like, they're all great covers. I'm just going to do them all for 15, you know? And if you were a fan of God Slayers Episode 1, you probably saw that we had different prices on different tiers because of the different prices of artwork. And this time I just took that on the chin and was like, I'm just going to put it all up there for 15.
That's awesome. We also have...
we do have the silver foil cover tier, which is cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I always love a good foil too, and it's not that much more. It's only $15 more and you get a nice foil cover. We have this awesome tier too, so pledge 50 or more, you're gonna get the interior artist bundle, or no, just the two covers.
So it's three covers.
Three covers,
it's his
yeah.
It's his a physical copy of his wraparound cover. It's a physical for Godslayers Episode 2. It's a physical copy of Godslayers Episode 1's main cover. And it is his 80s action movie physical copy of Godslayers Episode 1. And I only have three sets, and I think two of them sold.
Okay, yeah. So you guys might want to jump on that fast while it is still around. We also have the All Bellatier, which will get you some issues from issue one as well. I love her design so much. And her ability to conjure whatever she needs. I think that's a very cool ability too. I mean, dude, that's such a cool creation.
Bella is my Sailor Moon throwback. So that's my shout out to my younger years when I was watching Sailor Moon, because I live on the West Coast and they didn't have any anime channels, but they had one on the East Coast, and I would get up at 3 a.m. to watch Sailor Moon and go back to bed before school.
And it'd be 6 a.m. for us, so that's why I would be watching it at school. It's so funny when you think of the time zones, you know what I mean?
Yep. And this guy's already gone, our exclusive tier. So mm-hmm. Pete Vasquez, who did our Godslayers variant, also the only foil cover we have, he did a painted with marker outline cover, and on a Godslayers Episode 1 sketch cover, the Bella at the Beach. So this is, I guess it's a multimedia cover,
mm-hmm.
where it's done in markers and paint, and it's unique. There's only one, and it sold the moment I put it up there.
I mean, yeah, it definitely, that's one hell of a tier too. We also have the 115, the Silver Conqueror's tier. So what's all going to be included in this one? This looks like one hell of a tier.
So that is all five covers. If you're a cover collector, that's the Mario wraparound. That's LC Freitas' The Godslayer Awakened. It's his Bella pinup. It's the Dust pinup, the Sexy Necromancer. Mm-hmm. It's Pete Vasquez's Godslayers cover, and then a foil version of the Pete Vasquez cover.
That is awesome. And then we have some awesome add-ons too. So if you had, if you missed episode one, you get a chance to add the PDF for $3. The physical issue for $15, or that Bella copy for $25. And then stretch goals right here. This is so cool. Is this like what, Futurama or The Simpsons?
It's Godslayer's Simpsons.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that.
Done by Burn Cord. And so that's our first print. And I started getting prints because I'll be doing Silver Age Comic Con here in Reno, July 8th. That'll be my first con as a vendor. Mm-hmm. And I needed merchandise. Now, Anne, who did our Sexy Necromancer cover, she did this The Girls print, which is Bella and Akara sitting on Bella's hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the Godslayer's tomb. And so this is another stretch goal print. And then we have our Chibi stickers, dude. These are bomb. They're vinyl die cut stickers.
Those are
done
gorgeous
by Myonis Doodles.
And then stretch goal, goal four, this awesome print right here, Reflections. I love this too, the little throwback.
This is done by Zach Raw. And he's actually doing trading cards for Godslayers Episode 3 for me. I love this piece too. So I designed this originally to be one of the covers, but no one really wanted to do that one as a cover. And then Zach grabbed it up to do it as a print for me for Silver Age and knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. So not only that, but if we can hit that tier, I have a Joel Souza print and a Mario A. Barraza original print that you can see in our updates on the Kickstarter or on Tenebris Anima Comics on Facebook, our business page. I'm going to include those two prints as well.
I love all this merch and stickers. That is so awesome. So, Gage, after going through this Kickstarter in its entirety, for anyone who might be on the fence about backing, what would you like to say to them directly to kind of help push them over that edge?
Join the fan base. I'm going to keep going. The story's just getting started. So I'm really just introducing characters. You're getting in on the ground floor, and I'm going to keep on going. And there's great stuff coming and great stuff right there in that Kickstarter. So,
no, absolutely. We have some hype over in the chat. We have Dwarf Gamer saying, do you think there'll be Easter eggs to other manga anime like Berserk or anything? Yeah, it kind of seemed like Bella had a little bit of a Berserk influence, if I'm not mistaken.
So Bella is my lovelorn, angry anime girl. So, like, She's got enough attitude. She's got with Jericho, those two are like fire and water. Mm-hmm. They're just at each other the whole time.
I love it. And then we have my good friend Freestyle as well, jumping in to say what up and hyping up the stream. So Gage, what's next for you in 2023? I mean, after the Kickstarter, are you going to be working on episode 3, or do you think you might venture back to that one project that didn't really take off the first time around?
No, that project's put aside for a little while now. It was a manga style comic book I wanted to do, and like I said, it didn't gel like Godslayers has. Mm-hmm. I really want to just focus down on Godslayers and get another episode of this out this year. So.
No, absolutely. So for everyone watching, if you are on Facebook or YouTube, there's links to follow Gage on Facebook and Twitter and everything. But for anyone who's just listening, where can listeners find you the easiest and the best?
So I'm mostly on Facebook. You can find me at Gage the Wolf on Facebook. That's my personal page. And I'm touting Godslayers and all kinds of other projects. I'm a mad sharer and mad supporter of indies. So if it comes across my page, I like the art, or I like the idea of the storyline or anything like that, it's going back out off my page, shared to everyone I know. And then my business page is Tenebris Anima Comics on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And that's where I post a lot of my updates on Godslayers as I'm going. Because I'm working a little faster on Godslayers 3, I'm hoping to be putting up a heck of a lot more updates on Godslayers 3 moving forward on there. And then you can find me on Twitter at Gage the Wolf and on Instagram at Gage the Wolf, but I am an old man and I'm still learning these two platforms.
What do these buttons do? I don't know.
I have very little traction there so far. So if you want to come follow me, I would be glad to have you.
So Gage, you've been on the show before. I know it was like a long, long episode, interview 13, and this is at least 340 past that. But 357. You know, We always ask for a little bit of advice. So last time, you know, I want to ask something a little bit better this time around. So for anyone looking to maybe do a Kickstarter for the first time, what advice would you offer them to kind of help them start off on the right foot? You know, just if you could maybe go back to your very first Kickstarter and tell yourself something, what would it be?
Oh, slow down a little bit. So I jumped in head first with my very first Kickstarter, and I didn't really have any skills for anything except the writing. I did my entire first book on an iPhone 7S. I didn't get a computer until Godslayers episode 1 funded. So I would say really, really look into how other people build their Kickstarters. If you're not very good at graphics or building that kind of stuff, I use a program that's free online called Canva that allows me to just upload stuff and kind of work with it like the old AOL mm-hmm. web pages, because I'm that old. So it's really simple. It's like a shrink and place, and it's really simple, and it's helped mm-hmm. me out a lot not knowing Photoshop or Adobe or any of that stuff. And then just don't be afraid to share the heck out of it. Like, you've got to be your number one spokesperson, because you don't have a publisher. Like, get out there and share it. Like, take the time to share it. Find shows that'll have you on to talk about it. Thanks, Cody. And stay positive. Mm-hmm. Like, that's another thing. I see a lot of people that have a rough time and they can get kind of mired. Stay positive and keep at it. Like, you're not going to make $1 million on your first one. I guess you could, but you're not going. I don't think you're going to make $1 million on your first one. Build a fan base. Like, be good to the people who back you. Make sure you mm-hmm. fulfill well and build that fan base and trust.
Absolutely. And realistic expectations, I think, is a big one, without a doubt. So yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for swinging by, Gage. This was one hell of a sit down. I appreciate it. Everyone watching, right there are the links to be sure to back this campaign as well to help make it happen. That being said, it is time for us to wrap up. I hope you all have a lovely day, but most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.